Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 10 of Season 12 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast, where we dig our way through The Shawshank Redemption from 1994, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me to finish off the week is Nick Rehack of the Rabbit Hole Podcast. Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you so much for having me on this beautiful Friday.
Yes, it is. I agree. And just a few days from now, we'll be celebrating our anniversary of when we first met.
it's so crazy to think that, and it's also crazy to think that it's been so long since it happened. It feels like it was just last year, not this year, or that's the not, you not know a couple years ago.
Yeah, 4 years ago. Wow, it's crazy. I want to come back.
I told you earlier in the week, Habsies on a plane ticket's the best like thing I to said, do right
you,
now.
You really need to check that before you want to commit. Because I might take you up on that. I don't know if Bethany will be happy about that one.
Yeah.
Or are you making the offer, assuming that I'm not going to take you up on it, so you're safe?
Half and half.
Half and half. Right, so you're saying it's not even half of these, it's quarters.
Ooh. Now it's more appealing.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, well, just do a quick search, see how much it costs for a flight, and I think you're gonna take that back, but we'll see.
Ooh, wow!
You just checked?
Yeah, that is a little more expensive than I thought it was gonna be.
Did you really check? Oh wow!
I did, and I tell you what, quarterzies is sounding much more appealing. So does fifthsies.
So do tenthsies.
Yeah.
Or let's go with twentiesies. You know, yeah, of course. Ooh. Yeah. Now you understand why I don't come to visit that often.
Yeah. Don't blame you.
Yeah. So minute 10 begins with the bus getting closer as Red continues to narrate and ends with Red smiling at the applause that he gets. So we ended things yesterday with Red giving us some narration about Andy, and he basically finished by saying, when Andy Dufresne came to me in 1949 and asked me to smuggle Rita Hayworth into the prison for him, and then he continues by saying, today I told him, no problem. The shot here is just amazing.
It's beautiful.
I know I keep saying this, but I can't believe they just overlooked Roger Deakins here. Just to have a shot follow the bus and then fly above the building and go into the quad itself from above. I mean, it's such an amazing crane shot here, or helicopter shot maybe.
Yeah, it's got to be helicopter, and to kind of like leave the bus and then catch back up with the bus, all while just showing you what this prison is about and kind of what it looks like. It's just, almost like a factory with a big yard in the center there. And it's not really glamorous either. It's all concrete. There's not a lot of grass, if any. And if there is, it's just mud because it, assumedly recently it's rained. There's puddles everywhere. Like, it's a sad, cold place. And it's... But at the same time, again, a beautiful shot of them just swirling around, and it's so well done. It's so, and a weird way to say this, but it's so well choreographed, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody has to know at one point where you're going to be and how long you need to get there. And I'm curious as to how many takes or how many flybys they did, or what they, decided to use the final, or which, version was the final shot there. But it's just well done.
Yeah, completely. Both Darabont and Deakins get so much credit for this. And this isn't the only shot in the entire movie where they do this. They're going to do it later with the music also. It's just amazing. No other way to describe it, I guess you could say. Because it's mind-blowing to watch it, the way that they do this. As we see the men walking towards, we get to hear the great music in this movie. I mean, I love the music here, and You know, you just see all of these Khans walking towards the side. You know, we don't yet know what they're walking to. And then as the camera flies around the area, we see a flag that is flying. Okay, do you have any idea what this flag is?
That is the state of Maine flag.
Very nice.
Because I looked it up because I'm like, I wonder if that is the actual flag or if they, you know, goofed because they filmed this elsewhere and no, that is the state of Maine flag.
Yes, it is. And it's very funny because when I first was starting to do lately, I guess you can say I've been getting a little lazy. So when I go to do my initial research on things, I check, ChatGPT and things like that. And I wrote to ChatGPT and I said, what is the flag flying in the quad? And they said, well, the movie was filmed in Ohio, so this is the flag from Ohio. And I was like, then I looked at the picture of the flag from Ohio, and I'm like, no, it's not. And they said, oh, you're right. I made a mistake. And then it says, there are actually two flags there. There's a flag of Maine and there's a flag of the U.S. And I'm like, no, there is only one flag there. And it says, oh, I think you're right. There is only the flag of Maine. I'm like, okay, thanks a lot. You could have
saved me. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Seriously, I don't understand why AI likes to lie to people about things like this.
I don't know. It's time to pull a fast one. And here's the thing. It's very – you can't get this mixed up with the Ohio flag because the Ohio flag is the only flag in the U.S. that is not rectangle shaped.
There you go. It's also not blue.
That too.
So – you know, so it makes you wonder. But again, it's great the way that they do this. The camera just flies over everything. You see the guards standing on the top of the wall. You know, it's like, you know, as the bus gets closer to them, we also see two guards come out of a tower on the ground. I mean, mm-hmm. the detail here is just unbelievable. I'm always,
yeah.
Every time I watch it, I'm so impressed with the detail of what
and it's such a simple scene too. Like it's just a helicopter. Realistically, it's just a helicopter shot, but because of all the little details, getting the flag right, having that choreography, having the people coming out as if it's a routine, like here's just a guy coming through, or you know, a bus of people coming through, like it makes it well done.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the music adds so much to it.
Of course.
You know, and there's something that I missed to talk about when we began this minute. So when the camera begins to start flying, when it goes from the bus and then it starts flying up, you see what looks like two guards and like nine prisoners walking outside.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very strange. I mean, here they're in a maximum security prison. They're bringing in a bus filled with 14 new cons. So, like, why are these guys out for a walk? What are they doing? I mean, they haven't started talking yet about the inside outside project that Norton has. I'm trying to think of, like, why would they have these cons outside of the gate being guarded, you know, by these two guards. Obviously, there must be some plausible reason for it, but it just didn't make any sense to me.
Only thing I could genuinely think of would be like a treat for good behavior. You get to walk outside for an hour under supervision or something like that.
This isn't Hannibal Lecter.
The only thing I could think of.
You know,
that's what makes me think of it. When she's like, you know, you can walk on the beach for an hour. You can do this and do under supervision, of course. Like, that immediately makes me think of that.
Yeah, I don't think. Well, maybe one of these guys is Hannibal Lecter. That could be too, because he has,
could be.
He's on good behavior, and instead of walking on the beach, you can walk outside on the road, where
yeah, you can look at the grass.
That's right, where all the cars of the employees of Shawshank, that mm-hmm. neatly park there.
Nice looking cars too.
Yes, they definitely do. They all look shiny, like maybe someone, you know, got it from a an inheritance from their long lost brother who they haven't heard from in years. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could be. Just off the top of my head. You know, one of those things.
You never know.
That's right. So back to where we were. So the men all start walking towards, I guess, the front gate. And then we get shot on the bus itself. And we get to see all these prisoners, you know, on the bus, just enjoying the ride into Shawshank, I guess you could say.
That's one way to word it.
That's right. And then we see that Andy Dufresne is sitting all the way in the back. And, you know, as they show Andy, so Red then continues his narration. Again, we've had about 45 seconds of just music without anyone talking. And then Red continues and goes, Andy came to Shawshank Prison in early 1947 for murdering his wife and the fella she was banging. On the outside, he'd been a vice president of a large Portland bank. Good work for a man as young as he was. So, you know, they give it to us short and simple. Explain to us who he is, why he's there. I mean, again, we know why he's there because we already saw, you know, the courtroom scene. The fact that he worked at a Portland bank is not something we should have, would have, could have known before. You know, that type of thing. Now, when we see Andy on the back of the bus, you know, we talked the other day about the fact that his tie wasn't completely done properly, but here you see it's loosened even more.
Mm-hmm.
And we also get to see some of the other cons, and we even get to see Fat Ass, who will you know, learn more about in I think 2 weeks from now or a week and a half from now. Interesting that you know this actor has a very small part, but he's very recognizable even in other scenes that he's in. So I guess just having a prominent role where someone beats the crap out of you, you know, allows you to be recognizable later on, and people even know your name. Hey, it's Norm.
Funny how that works.
It's Norm.
Yeah. Norm.
Can you imagine if they called Norm Fat Ass? You know.
Be a very different show.
Yes, it would be. It would be. And then the camera zooms in on Andy as the narration continues. So it's a great way to shoot this, where Darabont is basically saying, okay, you know, I'm telling you who he is, and now we're going to focus on him with the camera also.
Mm-hmm.
So I
and again, just the lack of blinking, just this, he's so detached. He's so in his head of like, this is not how I thought this was going to go. This is not what's supposed to be happening. Like, just this real, like, it's settling in on him, and he's in shock and he's stunned by it.
Yeah. We see inside the prison again, we see Red, and, you know, people are whistling and applauding. And he points to somebody and starts moving in a direction where it looks like he's going to start running up something, like running up bleachers or something to that effect. So I like the fact that he's being treated like he's royalty or he's a superstar or something like that. Which is very interesting because theoretically, and again, I'm not belittling the profession, but he's just a UPS guy. You know, he's the guy who can get you something and finds a way to get it shipped to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it is. So it makes you wonder why everyone is so enthralled by him. You know, he's obviously very charismatic, and he's a guy who can get you things. But you don't need to be his best friend in order to be able to, unless you think you're going to get favors from that. But, you know, he doesn't seem like the type of character who would actually want that. You know, he doesn't want to be surrounded by yes men. He wants to have good conversations with people.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then as he starts to take a short run, skip, and jump, this minute ends. Nick, did you have anything else you wanted to add about this for a minute?
I love how we go from at the beginning of the week, and we have the DA saying beautiful young woman and her lover laying dead in each other's arms, to Morgan Freeman being like murdering his wife and the fella she was banging. I just love the change that we get as we go through. It makes me smile.
Well, again, I think the reason they do that is it happens to be who's it, you know, who, out of whose mouth is this description coming from? You know, here it's coming out of a con that's been in prison for 20 years, and before that, you know, murdered his own wife. You know, if we go with canon from the book, you know, in the movie it's not mentioned at all, so you don't know what he did, except for the fact that he says that he's the only guilty man in Shawshank. That we know. So he did something. What did he do? I couldn't tell you. You know, based on what they tell us. All right. Excellent. Today's segment is called Weekend Break, where my guests will give me their top five Prison Break movies. So,
My number five, right out the gate, using the word escape, Escape from New York. Number four, Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. Number three is Down by Law.
what is that?
You don't Down by Law?
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
So Down by Law is John Lurie, Tom Waits, and the other guy's name is escaping me right now, but it's these guys that are in a prison down in New Orleans and they break out and they're just trying to kind of escape and get away.
I don't think I've ever heard of that. Is it good?
Roberto Benigni is the other guy. I very much enjoyed it. It was my
Six. Wow. Okay.
it was my first Jim Jarmusch film that I ever saw, and I love Tom Waits. So for a while there I was watching anything that he was in, and this is one of them. So it's just three guys, they've escaped, and you know, they're just getting through the bayous in Louisiana, and it's a character drama. It's these three guys, they have this scene: I scream, you scream, we all scream for ice cream, and it brings it. It's great. It's a great moment. Like, it's such a great moment, and I love this
Oh
movie.
wow.
Absolutely love
Okay,
this
see,
movie.
you finally have a movie that you can put on my list. There you go.
There you go.
So I will watch this after you watch even one of the movies that's on your list.
I'm gonna hold you to it. You're gonna get an email in like 3 weeks saying, "Guess who saw The
There you
Majestic?"
go. All right, I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. I'm gonna write down, I'm gonna watch Down by Law after I get an email from Nick. There you go. All right.
So number three, Down by Law. Number two, Escape from Alcatraz, and number one with a bullet, The Great Escape.
I think I've heard of that movie before.
You
I
might
might
have. It's pretty good.
isn't there something about a trombone or something like that?
A distilling of
Yeah,
sorts, yes.
a distilling trombone or something like that. Wow. That also was a long time ago. But good memories, good memories.
Absolutely.
All right, so now we will play the daily game of Name That Novel Adaptation. So let's spin the wheel and see what Nick gets this time. Okay, this is a movie that came out in 2017, and the original name is The Coldest City.
The coldest city? Okay. Coldest city. 2017. First thing I can think of is that it's Russian.
Nope.
So it makes me think of a Russian
It's
film.
not Russian. It's not
Really?
Russian. It's an American film.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, coldest city, I'm just in my head, like, it's got to do something with Russia.
I don't think it does. Maybe it does. It's been a while. I've seen this movie only once. Let's see. Where does this take place? No, it takes place in Berlin.
Okay. Well, this still might count then, I think. I'm thinking it's Bridge of Spies.
No. Bridge Spies was not in 2017 anyway. It was 2015.
Okay. That's what I got.
Okay.
2017.
It was directed by David Leitch, Leitch,
Okay.
and it stars Charlize
Really?
Theron. Really?
So what Charlize movies are coming out in 2017? It's not Mad Max, that's for sure. Unless it move, but I don't think that's
No.
the case. What is she doing in 2017? Trying to think of, is there a movie that she's been where there's like a title of a place in it? And I don't even think I know that.
No, it's not the title is not a title of a place.
Oh, okay then. That makes it okay. Coldest city.
The coldest.
The coldest
Yeah,
city. Okay,
not
okay.
oldest, coldest.
So it's in Berlin. It's got Charlize Theron. You got me good with this one. Has she done? It's not a period drama or anything historical or.
I mean, it takes place during the Cold War, I think. But would you call that a historical? Probably not.
I don't think this is it, because I think this is well before 2017. But she did an adaptation, or I guess from the it was a show on MTV for a while. It was like Aeon Flux, and then she did a live action version
No,
of it because it was an animated
it's
show.
not not that.
Okay. I think you got me.
All right, so the answer is Atomic Blonde.
Wow. I don't even remember that movie. I'm hearing the name, I remember seeing like posters and hearing about it, and it was, she's like a spy or something,
Cold
obviously.
War spot.
But I, yeah, that fell off my radar very quickly. I didn't know that was an, okay, Atomic Blonde.
All right, now we'll play the second daily game of High Low. Let's spin the wheel and see what you get. All right, the 1974 film Lenny.
Starring, what's his face, is Lenny Bruce?
Dustin Hoffman.
Yes, Dustin Hoffman. Okay. So it's a, I know it's a biopic, and I'm gonna go, I want to say a 7.2 on IMDb, and I probably not as critically as I think it is, so let's do an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
No, you shot too low on both of them. It's 89 on Rotten Tomatoes and 7.6 on IMDb.
Wow, okay.
All right, let's spin for your next one. Right, the 2021 film The Power of the Dog.
Power of the Dog. Okay, so I know this one. Power of the Dog. I'm going to say IMDb, it's like a 7.9, but on Rotten Tomatoes, it's like a 97 or something crazy.
Okay, well, it's 94 on Rotten Tomatoes,
Okay, still high, still
but
high.
on IMDb, it only has a 6.8.
Really? Okay. Just to show, the
That's it.
two do not always correlate.
That is correct. So let's spin the wheel for your final time this week for High Low. Right, the 2022 film The Fabelmans.
I'm going to say on IMDb, it's a 7.7. It was, I think, received well critically. So let's, I don't want to go too high in the 90s, but maybe it's in the 80s. Because it was like kind of an over under radar kind of thing. You know what? Let's go 89% on Rotten Tomatoes.
92. You should have gone with your gut. Low
Ah,
90s. And
man.
IMDb it has a 7.5, which I don't think it deserves. I think it should be higher.
Oh, really? Okay, I thought you were going to go the opposite.
No. I'm a big fan of The Fabelmans. I think Spielberg did a really good job of telling a story of his life without using his own, without telling everyone who's it about.
Yeah.
Oh, it's about Spielberg? Oh. I mean, again, he does tell us a lot of things about his family life that most people would shy away from telling. So you got to give him credit for that.
Absolutely.
All right, excellent. So, Nick, is there anything else you want to say in general about Shawshank?
I think it's a great film. I look forward to listening to the episodes to come, and I'm glad you're doing it.
Okay, ditto to all of the above. All right, and finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Roman. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movieroundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movieroundminute@movieround.net. So, Nick, thank you very much once again for joining me for yet another season. I always love having you on, and when the ticket prices go down, we'll talk about those halvesies.
Deal. We'll shake on it virtually.
There you go. Or five Z's or whatever you want to call it. All right. Excellent. So I will be back on Monday with a new guest. Everyone have a great weekend. But until then, get busy living.
Or get busy dying.